This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Toronto Mayor John Tory is with us. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
Nice to have you on. Let's talk quickly, maybe more in depth about the Quiet Streets program announced today by you in a press conference. We heard a number of things about weekend closures, Lakeshore, Bayview, for this weekend only. Let's talk about the overall picture and idea of this. Is this something that is only going to be done for COVID-19 until we're out of the deep waters of it, or is this a permanent project?
Well, I think it's maybe a bit of both, but I think what we're going to have to do clearly as traffic levels return to normal is see what the impact's going to be on the city. But I think we're some distance away, given that we're just now beginning stage one of the reopening of the city, from traffic returning to anywhere near normal. So I think we'll assess it. And part of the reason why we're doing it, you know, the way it is, to see how it goes on the local streets, see how it goes on the streets that we close. Because, you know, even when times are better, we've heard talk about how the waterfront, for example, gets so crowded. And if we're trying to keep that crowd scene down for some period of time, even after things have come back a bit, we may decide to, you know, do this more frequently on weekends or otherwise. So it's going to be a let's see how it goes kind of thing.
So all eastbound lanes, all eastbound lanes on Lakeshore Boulevard West between Windermere Avenue and to Stadium Road are going to be closed. When it comes to closing part of Lakeshore, will traffic still be flowing in both directions in the remaining lanes that are open?
You know, I was thinking about that because I figured you'd ask me that kind of question, and I don't know the answer to that, whether they're going to then take the remaining two lanes and turn them one lane each way or not. I think not, but I don't know, and I'll find that out for you. I can find it out while you're still on the air, but I just don't know. I just know we're closing only one side of it. That would allow for plenty of room for pedestrians and cyclists to do their thing. And then the question is, do you keep the traffic going both ways on the remaining lanes? Like, and just have to divide those? I don't think so.
Right. Okay. And yeah, just if you could let me know, that'd be great.
I will.
Let's talk a bit further about the sort of the concept of we'll see how it goes. Are we going to be doing just that when it comes to social distancing, when we see multiple locations, multiple storefronts opening up on, you know, the major arteries, your Queen Streets, your Danforths, your Bloors? Is that what we're going to be doing as well, seeing how it goes? Will there be more bylaw officers out? How's that going to look?
I hope not. I mean, you know, there's only so much of that you can do. If you look at a big city and you start to open up the retail strips and you start to do the streets we're doing, the quiet streets and whatnot, I mean, there's only so many of those people to go around. And I think, quite frankly, there's only so much, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word, tolerance, if you want to call it that, that people have for having people, you know, going around. These are unprecedented times, but I hope people have learned enough about physical distancing and that the store owners will be responsible enough, because I heard the Premier say today, and I would be very much of the same view, if people can't, you know, use personal responsibility to sort this out, including business owners, but also customers, well, then we're probably going to have to go backwards on this opening, because the threat to public health would just be too great. And, you know, I heard you saying earlier, Ryan, that you can't imagine anybody would be in favor of slowing down the opening. Toronto's numbers, the GTA's numbers, are still a really acute concern. You heard our medical officer of health saying that, and all the medical officers of health from the whole region have said that there's a more serious problem in the GTA, and that means we have to be very careful not to go too fast, because otherwise we could risk putting ourselves right back into a situation that we were in, say, a month and a half ago.
It sounds like you're concerned then with this I don't want to call it accelerated, but this stage one happening as early as Tuesday.
No, I think that the stage one happening Tuesday, and I think the province was very smart to announce it today and both give people a chance to get prepared, but also to give five more days of hopefully improved test results. In Toronto, for example, we've had 7 or 8 days of improved test results, and the test was 2 weeks. So, you know, it will be about 2 weeks by the time we get to Tuesday. So, and I think the changes are modest enough, you know, in terms of, stores that have a storefront and, you know, physical distancing and this and that, that we should be able to sort of get through the first stage. I made my comments today very much devoted to the second stage and the fact that I think in order to get to the second stage, which is a much broader reopening, we should have very clearly spelled out, numbers that we expect to have achieved by then, so that we can all be sure, ranging all the way from government officials, but most importantly, the public, that we're doing this in a responsible manner.
You know, it's interesting. We've got a number of text messages throughout the last couple of days, and I guess it weaves into the conversation. We got this text again today from a different number about the leadership from the province. How do you feel the Premier himself, Doug Ford, has handled this? And a lot of people are wanting to know your opinion as to whether or not he should be running federally, perhaps, in the future, based on the job that he's done.
Well, look, I have no opinion on what he would do with his own political future. You know, he'll do whatever he chooses to do. But I, with respect to how he's doing, he's been very collaborative. I was particularly heartened by his recognition yesterday very clearly of the needs of cities. I think that on this reopening, I think on phase one or stage one, it's been a reasonably balanced approach to it. However, I think the key phase, and this is where he and Rod Phillips are going to have to really pay attention, in my view, is phase two. Because when you get into a much broader reopening, it really does start to ramp up the risk, simply because you have many more people going to work, many stores open, some restaurants, I assume, will be open, and that's when a lot of the big questions will arise about, you know, contributing to renewed spreading of this thing, which, of course, none of us want.
We've heard from a number...
Sorry,
go ahead, Ryan.
No, go ahead.
We're hearing from a number of businesses at 71010 saying, you know, I've been given the green light to open up my retail store, but I've been going curbside all along because I'm an essential business. I've decided to stick with curbside service. I'm not ready to go full open yet because I'm more concerned about keeping my employees safe. That kind of plays into the sort of the Sweden model of putting responsibility into the hands of its citizens. Is that something that you respect? Is that something you expect the citizens of Toronto to do as well? Not necessarily take this as an opportunity to go carte blanche, but to sort of go at their own pace as well?
You heard me earlier use the phrase personal responsibility, and I think that I'm so heartened to hear there are businesses writing to you to say that, because it means they're gauging what they do. Yes, I'm sure they're making enough sales that they're thinking it's better than it was before, but they're also saying we're taking, you know, public health into account and personal responsibility. And I think, you know, if everybody does that, all the shop owners who open up and all the customers who go there and they obey the physical distancing and they do the kind of thing that's considerate, which may include sticking with curbside delivery, we will get through this a lot faster. We will have no question in 3 or 4 weeks but to say it's time to move to stage two, because we will have improved the numbers. There's still a lot of community spread going on out there, believe it or not, and that comes, it's not, you know, criticizing people, but it comes from people who pick it up in one way or another and go home and give it to their relatives, and it's getting better, but it's just still not to the stage where it should be all across the GTA. And all the medical officers of health, if we were to have them on one at a time, they would all tell you that.
An important question from one of our listeners about cemeteries. Please ask this question of the mayor. Please open other cemeteries other than Mount Pleasant. My best friend died, and she, like everyone, needs the dignity after dying to rest in peace. Any comment on that?
Well, only to say that we never did control when Mount Pleasant, for example, which owns about 10 cemeteries in Toronto, opened or closed. That was their decision. They weren't even told by their provincial regulator, and they're regulated provincially, that they had to open or close. I asked at the time the provincial regulator when I called about Mount Pleasant, and he said he thought that since Mount Pleasant was sort of the biggest company, that when they opened, that all the others would follow. And so if the listener wants to send a note to you further to tell us which cemetery that is, we can call and just say, hey, you know, have you talked to these people at all? And maybe you should sort of, you know, talk to your confreres and find that it really is manageable.
They did mention the cemetery in their text. It's Pine Hills Cemetery.
Okay, well, we can call them next week or tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday, so we can call them tomorrow and just see. They may have different thinking for whatever reason. I don't know, but I think many of the cemeteries have now opened on limited hours, but they've opened nonetheless.
Now, we're hearing from a number of the other mayors, specifically Patrick Brown, Bonnie Crombie, talking about, you know, the way in which she foresees Mississauga opening. Obviously, every community is a little bit different. Are those conversations still ongoing between Toronto's mayor and Mississauga's mayor, the other mayors as well?
Very much so. And more importantly, in a way, Jay, the conversations are going on between the medical officers of health, and they all agree on something that is just fact, which is that the Toronto region has been much harder hit by this COVID-19 virus than have other parts of the province. And I get the fact that the mayor of Kingston or whatever says they've had no cases, and I think that's wonderful for them, and I think they had no deaths. We've had 648 deaths in Toronto alone, not the GTA. And so all we're saying is that all of these decisions should be looked at through a lens that takes those numbers into account and takes the fact that we're a little behind other parts of the province. And people sort of somehow, I think, want to blame Toronto for that. Well, it's simply a fact, as it has been in every other country in the world, that the denser, more highly populated cities with a lot of high-rise and congregate settings have a higher rate of infection. It seems logical that would be the case with transit systems and the whole thing. So, we're just asking that those kinds of needs and the different situation of the city of Toronto and its surrounding area should be taken into account and very carefully considered, so you don't do something that may be good for Kingston but too fast for Toronto. And we're not trying to slow anything down, we're just trying to make sure we're careful.
Question from 71010 again. With the state of Toronto's finances, would the mayor ask councillors to take a pay cut?
Well, I've been asked this before. Look, the council, you should poll the councillors, quite frankly. I tell you why I don't believe that it's something that necessarily really accomplishes what it should. I'm lucky, as you guys know. I had some success in business that allows me to sort of not worry so much about supporting my family and so on. And these guys do not make a big buck. I know a lot of listeners would think it's a big buck. They make, I think, $109,000 or something, and they work really hard. And if I thought this was going to fix the city's finances to have them take a 10% pay cut, well, then I'd say, well, we better do that. But it isn't. I mean, it's, you know, on a $1.5 billion problem. So it's something that I just don't rush to do because I think it's kind of a showy, I realize it's symbolic, but it's a kind of a showy thing to do. And it then, you know, simply means the next time that a pay raise is discussed, it has to be an even bigger one to make up for the 10% cut. So I've been honest with you when you asked me that question once before and saying no. I've told you at the same time that I give more than my salary to charity every year, more than my salary. And so in my case, it's not about the money. It's just really about what is the appropriate thing to do in terms of just not being showy and symbolic, but maybe find real savings, you know, that are can be found elsewhere, and we're doing that right now.
I would poll the city councilors right after I poll the foxes to see when they eat the hens.
Yeah. You know what, Ryan? I you know how I feel about this stuff. I think public service is a privilege. I think it's an honor. I certainly am not, as you know, doing it for the money. And I think the suggestion other people are doing it for the money or that they're getting paid too much for the hours they work is really unfair to people in politics at all three levels of government. There may be the odd one that doesn't work hard. These people put in hours you can't even imagine, 7 days a week. And I can confirm it. There's a few that don't, but I can tell you they do. And I think on a per-hour basis, they make a lot less than a lot of other people out there do. And again, I know I'm not going to be popular for saying that. I'm just being honest about it.
Fair. Yeah, Ryan. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Have a great weekend. Stay
you
safe.
Too. That's not. Well, it's not Friday. It's not the weekend.
It's Friday.
Tomorrow's
Friday. Friday tomorrow, Jay.
I'll be out again tomorrow. So I look forward to that.
Sorry, Ryan told me all the counselors were taking tomorrow off. That's my fault.
Oh, stop it, you guys. Goodbye.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.